This morning, Matthew chapter 27. I appreciate this great country we live in. I'm glad I am an American. More importantly, I'm glad I'm a Christian American. And, we need to pray for our country, pray for our nation's leaders, that the Lord will do His will. Matthew chapter 27, if you're keeping notes, let me go ahead and give you the references as we're preaching through this book together. I'm preaching on Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 11 through 26. The parallel passages, for those keeping notes, is Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Look at verse number 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. In other words, it is as you say. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? Interesting, there's no answer given right there. But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. If you mark your Bible, there's a phrase, I cannot get away from it. It's the phrase in verse number 17. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas or Jesus? I preach to you on that subject this morning. Father, we love you. Help us to love you more. Forgive my sins. Help me to preach this message with power. Truly help me to be crucified. And may you preach through me. I need you today. And I pray that you take full control of this service. Challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're getting closer to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have come to the story where Jesus was taken by the religious rulers to stand before Pilate, the Roman governor. The reason these rulers took the Lord to Pilate was due to the fact that only the Roman governor could pronounce a death sentence at this time in their history. Now, while standing before Pilate, the Lord Jesus was accused by the priests and elders of many things. And among those things that they accused him of, you can read it. In other words, with all the parallel accounts, this is what I'm doing here today. Just giving you some different things from different human writers here. We see that they accused him of things such as tax evasion. They accused him of treason against the Roman government. And to these accusations, the Lord didn't say a word. He just stood there quietly. These ungodly religious rulers and leaders were trying to make the Lord look guilty of a political crime against Rome, you see. Therefore, become a threat to Caesar. Pilate asked the Lord if he was the king of the Jews. The Lord told him he was the king of the Jews, but that his kingdom was not of this world. This is in John's account. His kingdom was not of this world. Pilate realized that the Lord was not guilty of what these rulers were trying to accuse him of. And Pilate announced his innocence. He said, "I find no fault in this man." Pilate's own wife told him not to have anything to do with Jesus, that just man. Pilate even sent the Lord to Herod, that's in Luke's account, who after Herod's interrogation also found that the Lord was innocent. We see that from Pilate's own sayings about what took place with Herod. As a matter of fact, all the way through this story, we see the innocence of Jesus mentioned over and over again. It's brought out in Matthew chapter 27, verses 19, 23, and 24. In Mark's account, chapter 15, verse 14. In Luke's account, chapter 23, verses 4, 14, 15, and 22. And John's account, chapter 18, verse 38. And then chapter 19, verse 4. Over and over again, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. He's innocent. Even after they said, "Give us Barabbas and take Jesus," Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" And there was no answer. There was no answer. You and I know the reason for that. Pilate, knowing the Lord had been delivered because of envy. This is all introduction. I'm getting to the message in just a moment. Pilate knew that they delivered him because of envy, and he wanted to release the Lord. He wanted to set him free. But at the feast of the governor, instead of doing what he knew was right, he decided to bring out a notable prisoner named Barabbas to see if the people wanted to release Jesus or this wicked prisoner. Barabbas was guilty of insurrection, and he was guilty of murder. And I personally believe that Pilate thought surely they'll ask for Jesus to be released and keep Barabbas in prison. It's interesting to note how Barabbas was proven guilty while the Lord was proven innocent. Yet the crowd cried out to release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. When all is said and done, Jesus will literally die in the place of Barabbas. He will be Barabbas' substitute. But on a much larger scale, he'll be your substitute. And he'll be my substitute. Barabbas was guilty. Jesus was godly. Barabbas hurt others. Jesus helped others. Barabbas was violent. Jesus was virtuous. Barabbas was a robber. Jesus was the redeemer. Barabbas was godless. He was a godless insurrectionist. Jesus Christ was God incarnate. I'm telling you, what a beautiful picture we have here. Just an introduction. This is not the message, but what a beautiful picture we have here of the substitutionary death of Christ. He died in the place of a convicted prisoner who was sitting on death row. The Prince of Life crucified in the place of a murderer. What a picture. And while we meditate on this, let us rejoice in the fact that spiritually speaking, we were all born sitting on death row. Yet the Son of God came to die in our place. And because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, now He offers heaven as a free gift to all. We give Him glory today. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when you were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You read the account in Isaiah chapter 53. I'm not going to take time to do that. But you read that, and that's a prophecy. That's a prophecy of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And over again it says He did it for us, for our sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. Over and over. I want to give Him glory today for how He took my place on Calvary. And while we who are saved rejoice in what the Lord Jesus has done for us, this passage has gripped me in a different area. The thought the Lord has laid on my heart centers around the time when Pilate brought out this notable prisoner by the name of Barabbas. He's a convicted murderer. He's a wicked man. And he places him here and he places Jesus here. And he said, "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus?" Let me say this to you, that while Barabbas was a literal man who was chosen over the Lord Jesus that day, I submit to you that the four people or groups of people, we're going to look at four people or groups of people, two of them are individuals, two of them are groups. We're going to look at these four groups or individual people that were involved in this story. Even though Barabbas was a literal man, I submit to you spiritually that all four of those chose a spiritual Barabbas over Jesus. In other words, the Lord was standing there, God in human flesh, innocent, just, guiltless, and spotless. Yet these people chose Barabbas instead. They sacrificed the truth for something else. And what I want to do is look at these four people or groups and see what they literally chose over Jesus. Three of the four were there when they cried out, Barabbas. Herod was not there, but I submit to you, he also had his Barabbas. All four of them chose something else other than the Lord. And may I submit to you that spiritually speaking, lost people are in one of these four categories. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I submit to you that, listen, you are choosing one of these same four things over the Lord. But I also say this, we who are saved, in our daily decisions can be guilty of choosing these things over Christ too. Number one, we're going to look at Pilate. I'm not going to read a lot out of the scripture here because I've read the story to you here because I'm going to be going back and forth so much among the different gospel writers here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm just going to give you the thought and just paraphrase it. You can go back and look at it later. First of all, we see that Pilate's Barabbas, that he chose over Jesus. No question about it. His Barabbas was popularity. We see this, the gospel accounts show us a pitiful picture of this Roman governor by the name of Pilate. Pilate is the one who will bring down the death sentence. John's account shows us a conversation that took place between him and the Lord during this time. As a matter of fact, Pilate asked the Lord, he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Are you asking this because you're curious about it yourself, or are you asking this because they've asked you to ask me that?" He's dealing with Pilate. The Lord told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. And the Lord went on to tell Pilate that this was the very reason he was born, was to bear witness to the truth. By the way, in John's account, it's interesting. He said, "For this reason was I born. For this reason I came into the world." You have a great picture of the deity of the God-man there. Because he said, "For this reason was I born." That's humanity. But he said, "For this reason I came." That's God. And we see the God-man coming. And he's saying, "This is the very reason I came into this world, is to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate looked at him and said, "What is truth?" This is all in John's account. And throughout Pilate's interrogation, Pilate realized the Lord was not worthy to die. He knew in his heart that he was innocent. As a matter of fact, he realized the Lord Jesus was just and innocent, but he offered to chastise the Lord anyway. Now again, I'm not taking time to read this. You can go back and look at it. Here's what he said. "I find no fault in this man. I'm going to release him, but I'm going to chastise him." He had no right to do that. He's an innocent man. And he's saying, "Just to appease you, I'll beat the daylights out of him." He goes on. And we see that Luke tells us that Pilate was willing to release the Lord, but the people put the pressure on him to crucify him. Matthew tells us right here that there was a tumult that was getting ready to be made, so Pilate took water and washed his hands before the crowd, trying to say that he was innocent of the Lord's blood. But all the water in the world could not wipe the guilt away from him. Pilate knew the Lord was innocent. He even said so to the crowd that day. He said he found no fault in the Lord. However, we see in the end this man has the Lord scourged and condemns him to crucifixion. You might be sitting there saying, "Jody, how can a man, knowing that this is an innocent man, how can a man scourge somebody and send him to the Roman crucifixion? I mean, the worst possible death at that time. How could he do it to a man that he knew was innocent?" Mark tells us in his account. Here's what Mark said in Mark 15:15. "And so Pilate," here it is, "willing to content the people, release Barabbas unto them and deliver Jesus when he had him scourged to be crucified." May I tell you that what we see, the reason that Pilate chose to crucify the Lord, is that his Barabbas was popularity. He was willing to do anything that pleased the crowd. He was willing to do anything that made him look good in front of the people. He wanted to please the people. He wanted to make everybody happy. Get it? He wanted to be popular instead of right. One man put it this way: popularity will make a fool out of any who worship it. Pilate preferred the crowd's favor. And as a man said this, he said Pilate was like a dead fish that floats with the tide. Pilate acted out of self-interest instead of integrity. Political pressure was on him and caused great evil here. See, Judas yielded to the devil. Peter yielded to the flesh. But Pilate yielded to the world. And there are those today who are still choosing popularity over the Lord. They really are. The Lord Jesus is not popular with this world, friends. He never has been and never will be. I'm talking about this world's philosophy, this world's entertainment. He even calls his children to come out of the world, you see. And I'm telling you that if somebody is out just to be popular, if they're out just to put a smile on everybody else's face, they will choose Barabbas over Jesus 100% of the time. If you are out to be popular, you will not be godly. Amen. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with popularity. But if that's what you're seeking, you will choose that over Christ every time. Jesus, the Word of God tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Number one, Pilate's Barabbas was popularity. Number two, we consider Herod. And I want to read this account to you. You don't need to turn to it, but this is in Luke's account. In Luke chapter 23, verses 6 to 12, listen to this. In verse number 6, "When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. The same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves." I submit to you that while Pilate's Barabbas was popularity, Herod's Barabbas was pleasure. Because I'm going to tell you something here. Luke tells us that when Pilate heard the Lord belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, that he sent the Lord to Herod. No doubt he was trying to get rid of him. You see what I'm saying? Let somebody else deal with this. This is the same Herod that beheaded John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that when Herod saw him, he was exceeding glad. Because the Bible says he had heard many things of him. So he began to question the Lord with many words. The Bible says the Lord answered him nothing. See, Herod had silenced the messenger of God. And now the Son of God treated him with silence. Silencing God's voice is very dangerous, friends. Verse 8 tells us that Herod had heard many things of the Lord, but he did not accept the Lord as his Savior. He was one who was curious, but never converted. See, verse 8 tells us Herod chose pleasure over the Son of God. Let me explain. The Bible says that he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod was hoping to receive his curiosity appeased by seeing the Lord perform some miracle in front of him. Here's what I'm saying to you. Herod put Jesus in a box. And he wanted the Lord to do what he wanted. He had his own thoughts about what Jesus should do, you see. He was living for pleasure and satisfaction. And get this. When the Lord did not give him what he wanted, he mocked him. Listen to me. He set him at naught. You know what that phrase means, to set at naught? It means he counted him as nothing. It means that he treated him with utter contempt. He treated him as he was a big zero. Now, God help us to get across what I'm trying to say here. There are those today who are still choosing pleasure over the Son of God. Let me explain. They may be interested in Christ. They may be curious about Him. Herod was. But when He does not give them what they expect, they turn against Him. Here's what I'm saying to you. There's a crowd out there today that they're looking for a thrill. And if Jesus can give it to them, they'll take Him. But if He can't give them the thrill that they want, they don't want anything to do with Him. May I say something to you this morning? The Lord did not die to satisfy our pleasure. He died to save our soul. And there are people today who have their own little Jesus out there. They make Him up in their mind. And oh, I just feel goosebumps all the time. I look at that and I say, that's a bunch of hogwash, friends. Jesus did not come to give me a thrill. He came to save my hell-bound soul. And this man, Herod, chose pleasure over Jesus. Remind of a story here. This preacher told of an incident that happened in his first pastorate. He was called on to conduct a funeral of a young lady. Interesting thing was, this young lady was a college graduate, but she had never accepted Christ. One Sunday morning, she had come to church with her mother, and when they got back home after the service, she told her mother this, and I quote, "Mother, I came very near going forward and giving my heart to Christ this morning. I literally had to hold on to my seat to keep from going." Her mother said, "Mildred, why didn't you go? This had been the prayer of my life. Why didn't you accept Christ this morning?" In other words, her mother was, "I was praying for that. I'm praying for it. It's the prayer of my life. Why didn't you go?" She said, "Well, you know, I'm going to a dance Wednesday night. I want to wait until after that time. And I promised God in church this morning that I would give my heart to Christ next Sunday." Wednesday night came and she went to the dance. And that night something came up to where the girl caught a major cold. And through this cold she developed pneumonia. In a few days she died. And as they lowered the body into the grave, the mother just couldn't stand it. She just walked around the grave crying out, and I quote, "Gone to hell. And the dance did it." That's awful. May I say something to you? There is nothing in this world that is worthy to choose above Jesus Christ. You say, "I'd never do something like that." But could it be that somebody's walked in this auditorium and in your heart you don't have 100% assurance that you're going to heaven? But you're not going to come and make it right today. Not today, because you're just not ready yet. Let me say something, friends. You don't tell God when you're ready. God offers it when He chooses. And if you say no to Him, that is a very dangerous way to live your life. Number one, Pilate's Barabbas was popularity. Number two, Herod's Barabbas was pleasure. Number three, the ruler's Barabbas. I'm talking about the leaders, the chief priests and scribes who were envious of Him. Their Barabbas was pride. Now again, I'm not going to read some of these things because I'm putting it all together in a bowl for you here. You've got the text. You can go look at it later. The chief priests and elders were the ones who couldn't stand the Lord. They hated Him. They were the ones who went around to convince the crowd to ask for Barabbas. John tells us that these people would not go into the judgment hall of Pilate. Now get this, in John's account, the Bible says that when they sent Jesus to Pilate, they stayed outside the home because they didn't want to defile themselves. Read it yourself. Here's this ungodly rulers. They're trying to condemn an innocent man, trying to get him crucified, but they're so religious that they won't step inside the home of a Gentile because they're afraid, oh, if I do that, I can't eat the Passover. Stranger than that, swallow a camel. Amen. Religious hypocrites is who they are. Luke tells us these rulers stood and vehemently accused the Lord. That means with a lot of excitement. I mean, they're just excited about it. A lot of zeal about it. I mean, they're just accusing him. Matthew and Mark tells us that Pilate knew that these rulers had delivered the Lord due to one thing. They were jealous of him. They were envious. This means that these rulers couldn't stand the Lord. Here's the bottom line. These rulers were guilty of religious pride. They didn't want to give up their positions to the Son of God. He had proven over and over again that He truly is the Son of God. But these rulers had their own pride, and they thought more of themselves than they did the Son of God. Let me say this to you. They had an elevated position, and they were not willing to even give that to God's Son. They were proud people, friends. Pride. You know, in my opinion, the major reason why people today do not trust Christ is pride. That's my opinion. Listen to me. People know who He claims to be. There are people today who hear the truth of God's Word, just like these rulers did. And yet, due to selfish pride, they say no. They think more of themselves than they do Christ. They're not willing to surrender their will to His, you see. And may I tell you that pride can and will condemn a soul to hell. Pride is like the old story. It's a little bit funny story, but you'll get the basic gist of it. There were two flying species, and they saw this frog. This is not a true story, friends, okay? But anyway, they saw this frog, and he was needing to get somewhere else, but he couldn't make it there. So they decided, they concocted a story that each one of these birds would hold the end of a stick, and the frog could clasp down on the middle of it, and then they would fly up and fly him over. So they did that. And they were trying to help him get from here to there. The only thing holding him from destruction was keeping his mouth shut. Amen. And they heard, as they were flying over, the animals heard, look at that. That's a brilliant idea. I wonder who thought that up. And you know what happened, don't you? The frog just couldn't take it. And he opened his mouth and said, I did. And you know the rest of the story. That's a funny story to get across a spiritual truth. If you hold on to your pride, it will condemn you to an eternity without Christ. And there will come a day when you wish to God that you'd have sacrificed your pride for the Son of God. May I say this to you as well? This is obviously a message for non-believers, but there are many Christians today who are guilty of the same thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 and following, here's what it says. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is Jesus saying, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus saying, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God hates pride. Do you blame him? It'd be almost like a little child. Take my little baby girl, Joy. She can't even speak right now. Boy, she's precious. She's trying to communicate. She lays there, them big eyes like this. They can keep you humble, too. They really can. Because sometimes she stares right at you, and other times I'm looking right at her, and she just keeps doing it. She puts that big smile on. It's great. But could you imagine if she could talk? Said, Mama, Daddy, I don't need you. I've got it from here. She's 7 weeks old today. If her mom, especially her mother, but both of us do not take care of her, she will not live to be 8 weeks old or 2 months old. Because either Jalen would kill her or something. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying here? I'm trying to loosen it up in here a little bit. What am I saying to you? I'm saying this. The Bible says the God in whose breath, our breath is in His hands. The God who said, without me, ye can do nothing. Human beings walk around all proud and peacock. There are a lot of people who are guilty of pride who think they're humble. And may I tell you that false humility is pride. That's what it is. I'm not talking about walking around just downbeaten all the time and woe is me, I'm undone, throwing dust and ashes up in the air. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about this. I'm nothing. He's everything. He doesn't need me. I need Him. Without Him, I can do nothing. Not without me, He can do nothing. We need a good dose of humility. I know I do. Pride was this man's Barabbas. Then we close with the crowd. You know the crowd that once was saying, Hosanna! 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 When he was riding through. The same crowd is going to be crying out something different. It's interesting that the crowd's Barabbas. Pilate's Barabbas was popularity. Herod's Barabbas was pleasure. The ruler's Barabbas was pride, and the crowd's Barabbas was persuasion. You say, what are you talking about? It's interesting in our account in Matthew, I want to show you something. That the Bible tells us in verse number 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Persuaded them. Matthew tells us when Pilate decided to let the crowd decide who to release, Barabbas or Jesus, that the rulers persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. Mark tells us these same rulers moved the people. They moved the people to ask for Barabbas. And when Pilate asked which one they wanted to be released, the Bible says they all said, they all said they wanted Barabbas. John tells us that all of them answered, not this man, but Barabbas. Pilate then asked him, what shall then I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? What do you want me to do with him? And the Bible says they all answered, let him be crucified. Pilate asked him, for what evil? What has he done? They didn't answer anything. Pilate said, he took out the water and said, I'm innocent of this. And that same crowd All of them cried, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." What a terrible scene. But the Lord points out here that this crowd who at one time was saying, "Hosanna," is now crying, "Crucify him," due to the fact that they listened to unbelievers. They let the unbelieving crowd persuade them that he's not who he claims to be. Oh, how this crowd, now as I speak, wish they could go back to this scene and be the one who says, "Not Barabbas, but give me Christ." I'm telling you, by listening to the non-believers' opinions of the Lord, they refuse Jesus themselves. That is happening all over the place. Friends, if you choose to listen to the voice of unbelievers and the ungodly opinion of the Lord, you will be in danger of doing just what this crowd did. How these people chose the persuasion of others over the Son of God. Consider the words of the old gospel hymn. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth this sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" On that day, we have seen how people chose Barabbas over Jesus, and now they are separated from God for all eternity. They are burning in hell, awaiting the final judgment, when death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Pilate chose popularity. Herod chose pleasure. The rulers chose pride, and the crowd chose persuasion of others. I'm calling out like a trumpet, don't let this happen to you. Choose Christ. Don't settle for anything else. And if you choose him, I promise you, he'll satisfy you. Hey, if you've chosen Christ, does he satisfy you, friends? Amen. He's life. He's peace. He's grace. He's mercy. He's truth. And he's all in all to me. I ask the question, even to believers, thank God you've chosen Christ for salvation. What about your daily life? I ask this question, whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus? I want to step back and say, give me Jesus. He's been good to me. And he wants to be good to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And as I have preached this message, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God is truly using it. Would you please extend the invitation in a way that you see fit? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared there, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you this morning, are you really 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Or is there a situation in your life where maybe you're choosing popularity over Christ, or pleasure, pride, persuasion? You realize there are those who do not trust Christ because they worry about what others think? That's choosing popularity. That's choosing pride. That's really choosing the persuasion of others as well. You know, the Lord is so gracious. He knows He's the answer to our every need. But He does not force Himself on any of us. He wants us to choose Him. Have you made the right choice? I'm talking in salvation. Have you made the right choice? Have you know without a doubt that you've chosen Christ for salvation? No question about it. You don't hope you're going to heaven. You know you are. You're 100% sure you're going to heaven. No doubt about it. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that question? Put your hand down. God bless you. Some of you here could not raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. All I'm trying to do today is say, listen, the choice is yours. You can choose Christ today. Or you can choose anything else. But if you choose anything else other than Christ, you will live to regret that. Is there one say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. If you're here today and say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure I'm saved. But I realize I need Christ. Now I want to choose Him. I want to choose the Lord. I don't want anything else to take His place. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But in my daily life, I can see many times how I choose other things other than Christ. Maybe this week you've chosen popularity. Maybe this week you've chosen pleasure. Maybe this week you've chosen pride or chosen persuasion of other people. You're a believer, you know you're going to heaven, but you realize that you're choosing other things other than Christ. If the Lord's dealing with you, won't you come? Talk to God about it. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it. Barabbas or Jesus? Help us truly to choose Jesus 100% of the time. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing. As soon as he begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As he sings now, you come. Would you
come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you
way. We're dealing with one here, a couple. All of us have a tendency to choose something else other than the Lord. All of us. This week you're going to be confronted with this thought. Will I choose Barabbas or will I choose Christ? I don't know what that Barabbas is, but I guarantee you Barabbas is alive and doing well. And you're going to meet him this week. You're going to have a choice, and so am I. I'm going to meet him this week. Probably multiple times this week, I'm going to meet Barabbas. And I'm going to have a choice to make. I will choose Christ, or I will choose Barabbas. When we choose Barabbas, it leads to emptiness. It leads to guilt. When you choose Christ, it leads to peace, true satisfaction. And what our heart's searching for anyway. So let me just encourage you. Choose Christ this week. Choose the Lord. God will help you with this. Let's just sing one more verse, Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind to do that while we're finishing dealing with one here. And we'll give these names and then we'll be on our way. Clyde and Barbara Swiger, if you wouldn't mind to stand there. Miss Judy standing with you. Came to see me this week. Told me that God's given him a love for me as a pastor. I appreciate that. The Bible does say love your enemies, right? I'm kidding with you. They've prayed about this, and they want to join our church. They'd like to. They have been saved. They have been scripturally baptized, Church of Like Faith. All that's been checked out. They'd like to come by letter from Gravel Hill Baptist Church here in the area. And they feel like this is the Lord's will. They want to do something for God. And we've got a VBS right around the corner. We could use you. That'd be great. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive them by letter? If I could have somebody make a motion. Brother Earl Bridgman. Brother Larry. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. You stay right there. And I hope many of you will come by and greet them. Thank you for being here. And we'll be dismissed in prayer. And be back tonight for the evening service, 6:30. Be right in your place, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Gamble, sir, if you'll lift your voice and pray this morning.